Welcome to Curious Juno. I'm Matt Miller. In this segment, how the story of the Birdman of Alcatraz started in Alaska's capital city.
Robert F. Straw.
Breaking that train window was a serious offense.
It was hot. I was thinking of my lungs.
That's Carl Malden and Burt Lancaster in the 1962 movie that's based on the book of the same name. Lancaster plays Robert Stroud, perhaps one of the country's most famous inmates of the last century.
You know, I think I've got you figured out, Shoemaker. First day I came here, you as much as asked me to get down on my knees and whip her. I wouldn't do it then, I won't do it now. I won't lick your hand, and that's what eats you, ain't it, Keeper? Well, you keep this in mind. A man ain't whipped until he quits, and I'll never give you that pleasure.
Originally incarcerated at McNeil Island in Washington in 1909 for the first of two murders, Stroud spent his adult life in the federal prison system, including well over four decades in solitary confinement. While incarcerated at Leavenworth Prison in Kansas, Stroud took in a few birds and nursed them back to health, and that led to a small cottage industry of bird care remedies and one of the first and most widely regarded books on bird diseases and bird care.
Rudy. What the hell are you doing back here? Too tough out there, huh? Come back for a little prison security.
Stroud was forced to end his study of birds when he was transferred to Alcatraz in San Francisco. But that didn't deter author Thomas Gaddis from using it as a cool title for his book. The movie takes a few liberties with some facts and glosses over some of Stroud's character flaws. In this edition of Curious Juno, I'm focusing on events before the movie.
In 1909 in Alaska, you appointed yourself judge, jury, and executioner and killed one Charles Donner because he allegedly beat up a friend named Katie Malone, a prostitute.
A listener writes, I want to know the address where the Birdman of Alcatraz, Robert Stroud, committed the murder that got him sent to Leavenworth. Well, I think I know. Robert Stroud met his girlfriend Kate Delaney in Cordova in 1908. Delaney, also known as Kitty O'Brien, was a dance hall girl among her various occupations. A few sensational accounts paint Stroud as Delaney's pimp, but Stroud was only 18 years old and, according to Gaddis, completely inexperienced with women until he met Delaney. She was twice his age and probably bonded with Stroud when she nursed him back to health after a bout of pneumonia. Stroud and Delaney left Cordova and followed one of Delaney's acquaintances to Juneau. Charles Dahmer had become a bartender at the Montana Saloon. He would also become Stroud's first victim. Stroud eventually pled guilty to the crime. Since Stroud never stood trial, there was never a trial record, so I needed to come up with other ways to pinpoint the scene of the crime. Over the course of 2 months, I carefully examined boxes of 109-year-old court records, old newspaper, microfilm reels, and city and state archives. Several important items turned up. Two different sets of newspaper articles were published by the Daily Alaska Dispatch and Alaska Weekly Transcript days after the murder in late January 1909. There were also 1904 and 1914 fire maps of the downtown area, a 1910 census record, and a 1988 CBJ Historic Building Survey. Digital Bob, the online archives of historian and writer Robert DeArmond, also had some important clues. I asked Leo Helmar to serve as another set of eyes, look over my research, and help me walk through the story.
So thanks for meeting me out here.
Yeah, no problem. How's it going, man?
You good?
Helmar is a paralegal at the City and Borough of Juneau's Department of Law. He also just started a podcast called Murder Alaska.
A lot of the things about Robert Stroud are... I've sort of passed into the realm of myth. Like the fact that he's called the Birdman of Alcatraz is not accurate at all. For example, he didn't have birds at Alcatraz. But
Leo and I compared old photographs of Front Street and determined the Montana Saloon, where Dahmer worked, may have been located between the Percy Building and the First National Bank Building.
The six windows across the top, six windows across the bottom.
Yeah.
So that would place the Montana Saloon right here where... the Gross 20th Century Theater is.
Right, yeah, and of course the theater's probably been here for a long time, too.
Leo and I then walked down Franklin Street into the old red light district. Delaney was working in a cabaret while the unemployed Stroud stayed with her in her room in the Clark Building. A 1987 column by D'Armond suggests the Clark Building was one of the women's boarding houses on the water side of Franklin, also called Lower Front Street.
You know, apparently there's some previous relationship there between Delaney and Dahmer. Obviously, that was a flashpoint with Stroud for whatever reason. And that is really kind of interesting if you didn't have some...
Some accounts say Dahmer stiffed Delaney on money that he owed her, but according to Gaddis's account, Dahmer wanted Delaney to stay with him. He assaulted her, gave her black eyes, and took a gold locket with her daughter's picture after ripping it from around her neck. Stroud came back, became enraged, and took Delaney's revolver when she passed out drunk. Stroud bought some ammunition and headed to Dahmer's cottage. Newspaper accounts place that on 4th Street between Franklin and Gold.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I grew up right down here, just on the top of Gold Street, and my parents' house has been there for, you know, since that same time period. And one thing that you come to find out living in a really old house is that they get changed quite a bit. Like my parents' house started out as like a simple mining shack, basically. And over the years, they added on a second floor and another wing. And so a lot of these houses have been through an incredible amount of changes over the years.
The two men fought. Stroud fired a shot and missed. He fired again into Dahmer's temple and down into his pelvis. According to newspaper accounts, William Dickinson, who likely lived in the adjoining house at the western downhill corner of 4th and Gold, heard two shots. Dickinson watched Stroud leave Dahmer's house and walk down Franklin. Stroud returned the locket and gun to Delaney's room and then turned himself in to the local marshal.
This makes sense to me in terms of the architecture of it, because, you know, the other thing too is you have these people hearing the shot.
I asked Leo to poke holes in my research or come up with alternative locations.
This would be the best bet by far, unless I'm missing something, of course.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to try to do historical reconstruction because, you know, a lot of times you just don't have all the info you'd like to do. You don't have all the photos and stuff like that.
Based on old newspaper articles and census data, I believe Dahmer was possibly killed at what is now 325 4th Street or at the adjacent empty lot at 319 4th Street.
So I suppose it's possible it could have been a structure on this lot or the neighboring lot on the corner.
I stopped inside 325 4th Street and talked with managing attorney Eric Jorgensen. His firm, Earth Justice, bought the hip-roofed house with a small eyebrow dormer back in the late 1980s. He had heard the murder was committed somewhere on the block. Jorgensen also recalled early tourist walking tours stopping in the adjacent lot. He wasn't entirely sure, but he presumed it was about the murder and Birdman of Alcatraz.
Well, it's a little oddity about living and working here, I guess. You know, we've all seen the Birdman of Alcatraz movie, or many of us have, and know something about it. I did before coming here. And so it was unusual, an interesting thing to find out that the place that I'm working is near where something like this happened. Not a particularly positive thing to have this place be associated with, but an interesting a little nugget of history for this little place.
Jorgensen says their house was probably constructed after the 1920s and likely not the first on the lot. Well, I think I came pretty close to the scene of the crime.
Will they allow you to work with birds where you're going?
I'm afraid not. In the eyes of the Prison Bureau, avian research is, as you boys might put it, for the birds.
That's it for this edition of Curious Juno. Be sure to go to our website to see maps, pictures, and documents from the research and a list of all the great people who helped out over the last 2 months. If you think you've got some more information that will help with the story, let us know. And if you've got your own question about another mystery of Juno, you can also ask on our website. That's at ktoo.org/curious. I'm Matt Miller. Thanks for listening.